हारे। जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जय विष्णुपद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। विष्णुपद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराशिम भागवत की दाय गौर प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 8 withdrawal of the cosmic creations chapter 14 the system of universal management text number 1 to 4 before reading I'm going to read the what Prabhupada just does the overview of the chapter. It's a new chapter. Prabhupada writes, this chapter describes the duties allotted to Manu by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the Manus as well as their sons, the sages, the demigods, and the Indras act under the orders of various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of every Chatur Yuga, consisting of Satya Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, Tetra Yuga, and Kali Yuga, the sages, acting under the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, distribute the Vedic knowledge and thus reinstate eternal religious principles. Manu's duty is to reestablish the system of religion. Manu's son execute Manu's orders, and thus the entire universe is maintained by Manu and his descendants. The Indras are various rulers of the heavenly planets. Assisted by demigods, they rule the three worlds. The Supreme Personality of Godhead also appear as incarnations in different yugas. He appears as Sanaka, Sanatan, Yajñavalkya, Datyatreya, and others. And thus he gives instructions in spiritual knowledge, prescribed duties, principles of mystic yoga, and so on. As Marichi and others, he creates progeny. As the king, he punishes the miscreants, and in the form of time, he annihilates the creation. One may argue, if the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead can do anything simply by his will, why he has arranged for so many personalities to manage? How and why he does this cannot be understood by those who are under the clutches of Maya. Text number one. Sri Raja Ubacha Manvantere Shubhagavan yatama nuadayas tuime yasmin karma niyeyena niyuktas tat badaswame. Translation: Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O most opulent Sukadev Goswami, please explain to me how Manu and the others in each Manvantara are engaged in their respective duties, and by whose order they are so engaged. Text number 2. Sri Risir Uvacha Manavo Manus Putrascha Munayascha Mahipate Indrasura Ganaschaiva Sarve Purusha Sasana. Translation: Sukadev Goswami said, the Manus, the son of Manu, the great sages, the Indras, and all the demigods, O king, are appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, such as Yajna. Text number 3. And this we chant together. Yajna Jagdayo Jag, yes, Jagnadayo Jagatita Jagyadayo Jagatita Parushyasta Navonripa Manuadayo Jagat Jatram Nayantya viparchodita Jagyadayo jagatita Paurushyasta navonripa Manuadayo jagatyatram Nayantya viparchodita Jagyadayo jagatita Parushyasta navonripa Manuadayo jagatyatram Nayantya viprachodita. Please chant. Yajna Adhaya. The Lord's incarnation known as Yajna and others. Jaha. Who? Katitaha. Already spoken of. Paurasyaha. Of the Supreme Person. Tanavaha. Incarnations. Nripa. O King. Manu Adayaha. The Manus and the others. Jagat Yatram. Universal affairs. Najanti. Conduct. Abhihi. By the incarnations. Prachoditaha. Being inspired. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King, I have already described to you various incarnations of the Lord, such as Yajna. The Manus and others are chosen by these incarnations, under whose direction they conduct the universal affairs. Purport. The Manus execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His various incarnations. Text number 4. Chaturyugante kalena grashtanchutri gananjata tapasari sayopasyam yato dharma sanatanaha. Translation. At the end of every four yugas, the great saintly persons, upon seeing that the eternal occupational duties of mankind has been misused, re-establish the principles of religion. Purport. In this verse, the words dharma and sanatanaha are very important. Sanatanam means eternal, and dharma means occupational duties. From Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga, the principles of religion and occupational duty gradually deteriorate. In Satya Yuga, the religious principles are observed in full, without deviation. In Tetra Yuga, however, these principles are somewhat neglected, and only 3/4 of the religious duties continue. In Dwarapara Yuga, only half of the religious principles continue. And in Kali Yuga, only 1/4 of the religious principles, which gradually disappear. And at the end of Kali Yuga, the principles of religion or the occupational duties of humanity are almost lost. Indeed, in this Kali Yuga, we have passed through only 5,000 years. Yet, the decline of Sanatan Dharma is very prominent. The duty of saintly persons, therefore, is to take up seriously the cause of Sanatan Dharma and try to reestablish it for the benefit of the entire human society. The Krishna conscious movement has been started according to this principle, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Kaler dosha nide rajam astihyeko mahanguna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta shanga param brajet. The entire Kali Yuga is full of faults. It is like an unlimited ocean of faults. But the Krishna consciousness movement is very authorized. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who 500 years ago inaugurated the movement of Sankirtan, Krishna Kirtan, we are trying to introduce this movement according to the superior orders all over the world. Now, if the inaugurators of this movement strictly follow the regulated principles and spread this movement for the benefit of all human society, they will certainly usher in a new way of life by reestablishing Sanatan Dharma. the eternal occupational duties of humanity. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nityadas. This is the purpose of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means Nitya or eternal, and Krishna Das means servant of Krishna. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine. Bancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. The system of universal management. So there's a structure, there's a managerial structure in the universe. There's order, there's laws, there's a government. And it is understood that we as citizens of the universe have to understand how the government works. Just like here in the US, they have a bit of a sort of complicated system of how people get elected, and there are so many departments, there are so many rules. There's the federal government, there's this government, there's these things and things, you know, how they work together. And that is, especially if you didn't took birth in this country, you know, is a bit difficult to understand this thing of the electoral college and the popular vote and this whole thing. People, even people who are from this country, are pretty confused about it. Even this, the people who manage the country, they're very confused about this whole thing. So they, you know, they go, you know, well, how does it work? You know, for example, it seems that, you know, in this election, the woman, Hillary Clinton, won the popular vote by so many millions of people. But she lost the presidency because the electoral whatever thing is what it wins. So how does it work exactly? You know, you don't understand very well. But there's something that you have to understand somehow or other if you live in this country. If you live any type of, you know, organized society, you have to understand the laws. You have to follow the laws. So the universe function is this is just a micro picture of the big picture, the macro picture of the universe. The universe has a government, and just as the president assigns a post, very important post, to different people for the government. So the Secretary of State, this one, that one, this minister, this you know, etc., etc. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he assigns very important managerial posts. And specifically, the ones that are described here are the Manus, the seven sages, Indra. So those are consistently being said that they're constantly changing, and every so much time they all change. So then there is a new, you know, set of administrators. Along with Indra, there is demigods, but Indra, he is the, you know, chief king of heaven. So in a day of Brahma, which comprise of a kalpa, which is 1,000 cycles of the four yugas, there are 14 manus. 14 manus. So we hear that, you know, so anyway, one can even make, you know, there can be, we can make a calculation of years of what is the duration of each manu's rule. At this moment, we are under the rule of the seven manu. So, and also we understand that once in the day of Brahma, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna comes to this universe to perform his pastime. You know, personally comes. And it is explained that, well, he appeared in this during the reign of this particular Manu. So we can understand that Krishna comes like around midday of Lord Brahma's day. That's roughly calculated, because if there's seven Manu, you have 14 Manus, so half of the day of Brahma has been covered with seven Manus. So more or less, you know, it's half day. That's when Krishna comes, like lunchtime. Raj Boga is, be ready for Krishna. So, so once in the day of Brahma is a very special type of situation. So once in 1,000 cycles. So what is it? 1,000, how you calculate that? 1 divided into 1,000, no? 1/1,000 of a moment, no? Is when Krishna appear. So it's very special. It's very special. The other 999, then there is different incarnations of the Lord, of Vishnu, such as the one that is described here, Yajna. And then so many others are there. We heard, you know, that during the whole churning of the ocean of milk, there was the one incarnation named Ajita. So then these incarnations of Lord Vishnu, they assign these different posts. And sometimes when there is not a qualified living entity for taking the post, then the Lord takes the post himself. So it is explained that one of these, we heard in the previous chapter, that the Lord have taken the post of Indra in one of these, you know, manvantaras. So so that's how the whole thing works. And then we hear here about the seven sages. So the seven sages, they have the task that every time a four cycle of yugas are completed, so at the end of Kali Yuga, when the whole thing just go to, you know, gets wiped out, basically, clean slot, then the seven sages reappear and they reestablish again the principles of religion fully for the beginning again of the cycle of Satyayuga. So they're how you say when you press the button, reset button back into full Satyayuga mode. And I know one of the sages, I mean, they're alive still. They're still, you know, somewhere in the planet. These sages, we just don't see them. Vyasadeva is one, and Vyasadeva is somewhere in the Himalayas. And Badrik Narayan. So you can go and take darshan of Srila Vyasadeva if you're qualified. Like Madhavacharya, that's how he, you know, that's how Srila Vyasadeva, you know, we are receiving the disciplic succession in which Srila Vyasadeva is there. So Madhavacharya was able to take personal darshan of Srila Vyasadeva. Another of the seven sages is Ashwatthama. You know that? Ashwatthama, we hear in the first canto that after he threw the Brahmastra weapon towards Arjuna and fail, and then because he couldn't retreat, he didn't have the knowledge to retreat the Brahmastra weapon, he directed the Brahmastra weapon to kill Maharaj Parikshit within the womb of his mother, Uttara. After this whole thing, then he was captured. You know, Krishna protected Maharaj Parikshit. And then Arjuna and the Pandavas capture Ashwatthama and punish him severely. And the punishment that he got is that he had a jewel that was that given the blessings of strength and youth, you know, power, and Arjuna cut that jewel and cut his hair, and you know, he was diminished basically and humiliated and punished very severely that way. But when they took the jewel out, he became cursed, and then he got a heavy curse, and that he was going to become so disgusting, his appearance was going to be so bad, and the smell of his body was so bad that he can be, he have to hide. So he's somewhere in the world that if you see him, you freaked out, you pass out, you know. So that's the thing. So he's cursed like that, and that's a punishment of because of the heinous acts that he performed, specifically killing all the five sons of the Pandavas, were, you know, boys of, you know, teenagers, and he just killed them, not even fighting against them, but in their sleep. So it was a very sinful act, and the reaction of that is that he have to go through all this purification. And so he's doing that. He's paying his penances. And, you know, he accepted. Ashwatthama accepted that. And the fact that is explained that at the end of Kali Yuga, he will reappear as one of the sages. And I think in the narrations that we just read, it was mentioned, Ashwatthama, the son of Drona. as one of the sages, the seven sages, right? You're one of, someone read it. Yeah, Jainita read it. Okay. So that's a function of the seven sages. And so Kali Yuga, it gets really bad. It gets really, really bad. Prabhupada explains 5,000 years, we're just in the dawn of Kali Yuga, you know. It's just starting. It's just the thing just started. It's 432,000 years, about then 5,000 years. So it's just the beginning. Just a, you know, we still have to go 27,000 years? Yeah, 427,000 years is still to go. And then you have this little window because of Lord Chaitanya's blessings to the world. You receive you a window within this 432,000 years. You have 10,000 years. That's also very, very short. And this, from the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, which was 500 years ago, there's a window of 10,000 years that the world can change, can regain, you know. It's almost like a special arrangement having place. It's like they did something like that, of course, you know. This is, you know, a very gross example of a window that you have to take advantage. In the late 80s, they did a window for illegal aliens to become residents. And it was just a window, and you have to grab it. So we were lucky to wait that time. Because actually, most of the people that I know in New York at that time, they were illegal aliens. I don't know, it was a city of illegal aliens. Somehow they were illegal aliens from all over the world. My wife was an illegal alien. I was an illegal alien. We were all illegal. I mean, I'm saying, how many people you knew that were illegal in New York at that time? It's like a huge amount of people. Everybody was illegal, you know? Most people that I knew were illegal. Somehow, and then there were all kinds of, you know, I mean, during that time, New York City was on his own, basically. Then, you know, it was almost like a lawless place, you know. I mean, people would do whatever. So you can get a green car, you know, you weren't illegal. You can get a green car, you know, like you just, yeah, just go to that guy. He just give you a green car. So you get a green car. And you work and no one cares, you know. I mean, it was like, who cares? You know, like, whatever. You know, everybody was, you know, very accommodating and that type of thing. But it was a window. You take advantage, well, you get, you know, then you're legal. So, okay, you're legal. Then the window closed. And then now, you know, it's so much anxiety. You can get, you know, papers. It takes so much time. It takes this and this. And, you know, anyway. So in Kali Yuga, this very, very bad time is really bad. The descriptions, you know, it's going to get so bad that all the nightmares of the liberals and the people, the sort of called, you know, progressive people in this nowadays, in modern days, all the nightmares will become true and even worse, even beyond their imagination, how bad it will be. The whole thing of the land becoming completely depleted, and, you know, global warming, the effects of that, the whole thing is going to be even beyond their expectation of bad. So that's the description that is. I'm going to read the descriptions of Kali Yuga in chapter in Canto 12, because it's within the context of a Prabhupada quoted this verse, Kaler dosha nidhe rajam. Nidhe, dosha nidhe means an ocean of fault. Kaler, this age of Kali, is an ocean of faults. The whole thing is bad. There's nothing good about it. Actually, no, he says, eko mahagunam. Echo Mahagunan, there's one echo, one good quality. There's everything is bad, but there's one thing that is good, and this Kirtanat Eva Krishna Asya, that just chant Hare Krishna. Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. That just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can achieve the perfection of life. And the context of this verse is Maharaj Parikshit asking Sukadev Goswami, after he heard the descriptions of Kali Yuga, that it were so bad. Maharaj Parikshit feeling compassion, he asks, how will people in Kali Yuga be able to counteract or, free themselves from the influence of this bad age? What kind of chance they have? Can they be able to? How they will? Sukadev Goswami says this by chanting Hare Krishna. That's the only chance. So that now, in this particular Kali Yuga, in which Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, in his most magnanimous incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, appears, that now a window has been opened that, regardless of qualification, you can actually take up to this process of chanting Hare Krishna. In previous ages, in previous cycles of yugas, the 999 other ones, then you have to be qualified. You have to have certain qualifications. It's not for everybody to actually have access to the holy name. So the yuga dharma is there every Kali Yuga, but not so easily available to anyone and everyone like is now. Now we have this window. So I read a little bit. Let me see here. What time it is? Yeah, we still have time. The symptoms of Kali Yuga. Look here. 12th Canto, Chapter 2 and 3, that's where those things are described. The Canto 12 is called the Age of Deterioration. So this is Kali. Sukadev Goswami said, then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength and memory will all be all diminished day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered a sign of man's good birth, proper behavior and fine qualities. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. You can see that nowadays. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will be depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a Brahmana just by wearing a thread. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to the external symbols, and on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living, and one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he have merely taken a bath. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. We hear a lot of that, you know, nowadays too. Our president has quite a hairdo. Filling the belly will become the goal of life, and one who is audacious, will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, and the principles of religions will be observed only for the sake of reputation. As the earth thus becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes show himself to be the strongest will gain political power. Losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers, who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizens will flee to the mountains and forests. Harassed by famine and excessive taxes, people will resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and snow. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. By the time the age of Kali ends, the body of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size, and the religious principles of followers of Banashram will be ruined. The path of the Vedas will be completely forgotten in human society, and so-called religions will be mostly atheistic. The kings will mostly be thieves. The occupations of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence. And all social classes will be reduced to the lowest levels of sudras. Cows will be like goats. Spiritual hermitage will not be different than mundane houses. And family ties will extend no further than the immediate bond of marriage. Most plants and herbs will be tiny, and all the trees will appear like dwarf sami trees. Clouds will be full of lightning. Homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will become like asses. At the time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth, acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness. He will rescue eternal religion. It explains, then it goes, you know, how Lord Kalki appears and basically chopped the heads of all these millions of, he says, Lord Kalki, the Lord of the universe, will mount his swift horse Devadatta and, sword in hand, travel all over the earth exhibiting his 8 mystic opulences and 8 special qualities of Godhead, displaying his unequal effulgence, and riding with great speed, he will kill by the millions those thieves who have their dress as kings. And it goes like that. And then next chapter, the end of this chapter, he explains a lot of Lord Kalki. But I'm gonna go to the next chapter that also goes, you know, in more detail on the Kali Yuga, that it gets even more scary. And that's where Sukadev Goswami asked Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami the question that I said. Let me see here. Should I keep reading this? I find it very interesting. Okay, that's it. Read a little more. Sukadev Goswami says, seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, earth herself loth, she said, just see how these kings who are actually playing things in the hand of death are designed to conquer me. Great rulers of man, even those who are learned, met frustration and failure because of material loss. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the death lump of flesh called the body, even though the material frame is fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. Where is this here? Okay, Maharaj Parikshit asks, my lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? Oh, great sage, please explain this to me. And then that's when Sukadev Goswami started to say it. He said that in different ages, there's a way how people did, but in Kali Yuga, then he explains, he's going to get to the point that chanting Hare Krishna. In the age of Kali, only 1/4 of the religious principles remain. The last remnant will continuously be decreased by ever-increasing principles of religion, and we finally be destroyed. So the last remaining principle, which is truthfulness, is continually being decreased and finally will be destroyed. In the age of Kali, in the Kali age, people tend to be greedy, ill-behaved, and merciless, and they fight one another without good reason. Unfortunate and obsessed with material desires, the people of Kali Yuga are almost all Sudras and barbarians. The material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose permutations are observed within the person's mind, are set into motion by the power of time. When the mind, intelligence, and senses are solidly fixed in the mode of goodness, that time should be understood as Satya Yuga, the age of truth. People then take pleasure in knowledge and austerity. And then he goes to say Tetra and Dwarpa, and he said of Kali, when greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy, and envy become prominent, along with attraction for selfish activities, such a time... Oh no, this is Dwarpa, my God. Sounded Kali. This time is the age of Dwarpa, dominated by mixed modes of passion and ignorance. Okay, Dwarpa is dominating by the mixed passion and ignorance. Guess that's what Duryodhan was there. Now, Kali, when there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty. That age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance. Because of bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. The woman become unchaste, will freely wander from one man to the next. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by a speculative interpretation of atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens, and the so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. The brahmacharis will fail to execute their vows and become generally unclean. The householders will become beggars. The vanaprastha will live in the villages, and the sannyasis will become greedy for wealth. Women will become much smaller in size, and they will eat too much, have more children than they can properly take care of, and lose all shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity. Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating. Even when there is no emergency, people will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable. Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if that master is a saintly person of exemplary character. Master will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk. In Kali Yuga, men will be wretched and controlled by women. They will reject their fathers, brothers, and other relatives and friends, and will instead associate with the sister and brothers of their wives. Thus, their conception of friendship will be based exclusively on sexual ties. Uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord and will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant dress. Those who know nothing about religion, will mount a high seat and presume to speak on religious principles. In the age of Kali, people's mind will always be agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation, my dear king, and will always be disturbed by fear of drought. They will lack adequate clothing, food, and drink. They will be unable to properly rest, have sex, or bathe themselves, and will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually come to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures. In Kali Yuga, men will develop hatred for each other, even over a few coins. Giving up all friendly relationships, they will be ready to lose their own life and kill even their own relative. Man will no longer protect the elderly parents, their children, or their respectable wife. Thoroughly degraded, they will care only to satisfy their own bellies and genitals. O king, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism. They will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme spiritual master of the universe. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so. Terrified about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he's saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be free from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. In Kali Yuga, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who is fixed one who fixes the law within his mind. If a person hears, glorifies, meditates upon, worship, or simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contaminations of accumulated during many thousands of lifetime. So it goes like that in terms of answering the question how they can be free. And so by fixing the Lord, by taking shelter of the Lord, how do you do that? How do you get, how, because that's one question that we can ask, and I'm going to stop, you know, with this. How something so simple as to chant Hare Krishna can counteract something so great and so dark like that, like the age of Kali, that what we hear. And that's, you know, but sometimes people doubt, we may doubt that even dealing with our own conditions, you know, with all this stuff that is just deep in our heart, which is basically the product of the influence of Kali, how the holy name can completely cleanse that. Something so simple. Something so simple that out there, Kali Yuga, just reading the thing, this is written more than 5,000 years ago, and it basically, each point, we can recognize it. We recognize it with the experience of, you know, the times that we live in. Just, you know, and the history of modern civilization is just this description. And it continues. It's just the same thing, almost like recycling the same bad things. And, you know, it's getting more degraded. And chanting Hare Krishna can counteract that. So to go out in Harinam can change the world. That's simple. And how can we believe on that? How can we even explain to people that? This, they may see the devotees, you know, and we also, you know, thinking, okay, we're going out, sometimes the devotee says, you know, especially in the beginning of our, you know, being a devotee, going out in the streets sometimes feels a little awkward. The first experiences of going out feels, in general, is a little awkward because people are looking at you. At best, they think, entertaining, you know, a bit crazy, but they look like nice people. At worst, they think, you know, you're completely useless, you know, you're like, you know, a cult that is crazy, you're completely crazy. So some people think that you maybe this is very annoying, you know, they're in the middle, the authorities, you know, they think that you're, you know, it's a nuisance, but somehow or other, because in this country you have something that is the free speech, then, okay, we have to put up with these crazy people, so keep up to that size, don't move in there, just, you know, here, and, you know, so there's all kinds of regulations. And then you can tell them, you know, we're actually doing something to change the world. Then that now is very clear. You guys are crazy. So, how something that simple can change the world, can change individuals, can change, you know, human society, can free, can elevate. And then we know that, we know the potency of the holy name, that Krishna has placed all his potencies on it. Sarva Shakti. And so when we come in contact with the holy name, there's a change. There's a change, there's a purification, there's an elevation of consciousness. And as Sankirtan devotees, we experience that. Like, you know, we've been doing now for several, you know, almost like a year, the idea of concentrating in, you know, our local, we've been doing that effort, you know. And the report that I hear from you guys is that there is a change. And in fact, you know, even as you work as a devotee, someone said, oh, you know, someone the other day, a kid just stopped me, you know, I've been seeing you guys, you know, doing this. I want to find out more about it. And then you have the experience. Things are changed. It changes the consciousness. It changes the space. So, okay, but the world is so bad. We live in such a conflicted, divide world that is full of quarrels. Kali Yuga, full Kali Yuga. What is this little chanting is gonna, you know, do? You know, I mean, are you really changing something? It's like making a little, you know, scratch in a big, you know, thing, or making like a little movement in a, you know, massive ocean of faults. But it's because we're seeing just a little space, but this is globally. It's global. It happens everywhere. Every town. Prabhupada's movement is stretching. Actually, wherever you go, at least the most prominent places in the world, there are devotees doing the same thing. It's grassroots. That's how change happens. And we just seen the beginning of this great Sankirtan movement that is going to be for 10,000 years, this window. So, anyway, that's some talks. I can go longer, but it's time to finish. comments. Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hello, Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. You made some nice points. Some points I didn't have the opportunity to make yesterday. I thought Prima Bhakti was gonna continue the class, then he ended. I was like, no. So, but the question and points I have yesterday are kind of related today to your class also. So, one thing I appreciate about this verse is that usually when Prabhupada quotes any verse that has to do with Dharma, he quotes that verse. Sarva Dharma Padati, I just surrender everything to the Lord. My question yesterday was kind of related to the Bali Maharaj pastime where he was supposed to surrender everything to the Lord. The Lord said, surrender to me. Sukracharya said, don't surrender to the Lord, you'll be more happier. And I was reading one verse, particularly, I'm not sure where it is, I don't remember, but Prabhupada quotes it in 241 of Bhagavad Gita. The verse is, Shraddha Shade Vishras Kahe Sudridani Nishchoy Krishna Bhati Koila Sarva Kama Krita Hoy. Basically, this verse and a series of verses after that says that basically one is considered an intermediate beginning or advanced devotee based on one's faith in the principle of surrendering everything to the Lord. And we see in our whole life, you were mentioning in the classes that some people say you're crazy if you chant Hare Krishna. We say you're not crazy. And then even in politics, you were mentioning politics, is that everyone's have their opinion of what will give you happiness. Some people say Hillary will give you happiness, some say Donald, but they're obviously both Sukracharya. So one point I kind of like to mention is that one realization that I got is that our mind is obviously, like Sukracharya says, don't surrender to the Lord. For example, look at the Mohini forms on the internet. That'll give you more happiness than surrendering your mind to Bhagavatam. And even like you were mentioning, non-devotees are also like Sukracharya. They say, don't chant Hare Krishna, you're crazy. But my question really is kind of related to devotees. Devotees, since we all have an artist, devotees could also be like Sukracharya when they give us advice. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mama na bhava ma bhato ma yajima namaskuru. Always think of me. But the tendency is that when some conflict comes up, devotees to give you advice. They don't say it directly, but the tendency is that, you know, don't think of Krishna. Think of being angry at this devotee. Think of being depressed. Think of getting revenge. And then once you successfully do that, then think of Krishna. And so my question is that we see in these pastimes that Shiva, he was described that I became under the influence of the Mohini form, but what to speak of conditioned souls. And then in a few chapters to this, chapters in the Bhagavatam, Mother Lakshmi says that all living entities, you know, are under the most material nature. Only the Lord is free from it. So how are we supposed to put our faith in devotees? Because the tendency is that Madhyama Adhikaris are supposed to discriminate. But the thing is that Madhyama Adhikaris are not angry when they discriminate. You, I hate this person. I hate that person. They're not angry. And when we become angry, your tendency to discriminate becomes very, you know, murky. So how are we supposed to put our faith in, because everyone's always Shukracharya, our own mind, people outside, even devotees. So how are we supposed to put our faith in maybe somebody that's trying to instruct us where we have a tendency that they may leading us to Vaishnava Parad? So that's kind of my question. So maybe you could elaborate on that point. So what should our disposition be?
Well, there is the instruction that we receive is that we should not act whimsically. We should be directed. We should have an authority that is guiding us and giving us instruction. That's Krishna's system. So we need, you know, it's compulsory for any type of a possibility of advancing in Krishna consciousness. We need to be under the shelter of a spiritual master within the, you know, the parampara. So there's no way around. So when you're under the shelter of a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master, then in the different, as we become devotees, we go through from the stages of being neophyte and all the symptoms of being neophyte. You go through all these upside downs, all these, you know, things. This thing pops out, these things comes out, these anartha things, you know, I'm angry, I'm this, I'm reacting according to my false ego, and this and that. All these things are there. The spiritual master is the one who is always getting you back into, you know, contact with reality, the reality of your Krishna servant. And the instructions of the spiritual master is almost this, the things that that will protect you from these all these different permutations of one's, you know, emotions and reactions and things like that. So that's the important part. So in terms of all the devotees in general, then the spiritual master directs you how to deal with the other devotees. That, you know, it's natural that in the beginning of your Krishna consciousness you get conflicted and you get also sort of conflicted in your relationship with other devotees. So I remember, you know, when I was sent to by my Guru Maharaj to serve in a particular temple, in a temple in New Jersey, I had some unhappiness with my temple president, an amazing devotee, you know, extremely qualified, proper disciple. And there I am, leader of such and such, that, you know, I have, you know, maybe, you know, a little too confident because, you know, I was doing this nice service and this and that. And there I am, you know, sort of getting upset because I'm thinking this devotee is taking credit for my ideas. You know? So I, you know, was not happy. I was not happy. So, and my Guru Maharaj puts it, you know, in place. You know, I say, well, I'm not happy. You know, I'm not, I complain. And then my spiritual master just put things in place. Basically, cooperate. You know, you go and cooperate until you find out that there is no possibility, then we can talk about it. Otherwise, you use every ounce of your body, every ounce of your time to cooperate. You know, that type, that was an instruction. I mean, it may have been another instruction, but the point is that the spiritual master instructs and guides, puts things in place. Once we go, it's like, then things in place. Sometimes the spiritual master puts, you know, a people around you that, you know, is allowing you to deal with all kinds of things that we have, all kinds of anarthas. He doesn't necessarily have to directly, but he have, you know, people representing him or certain authorities that you have to work in which you, you know, worked out your things. So basically, the shelter of the spiritual master is compulsory for us. That will do. You tend your rule, you haven't? Just take it to him, please.
Your description of Kali Yuga is, it's endless. Yeah. It says it's an ocean of faults, that there's no end to it. I always remember that. And a few other sayings that just came to mind, but one that I read in Chutananda's book, and this, I think this is what Prabhupada said, because in the back of the book he had a list of things that Prabhupada quoted. And he said that Maya's potency was able to make this movement look ridiculous. So when the devotees go out there, they kind of look ridiculous in contrast to what's, you know, the karmis are doing. You know, they're all, you know, getting ahead in life, making money and stuff, you know, but we look totally out of place, complete contrast. And, you know, a lot of these sayings that I'll just kind of repeat, but they always come to mind when we talk about Kali Yuga, that they were kind of like short little things, were that people are short-lived, misguided, and most of all disturbed. We've all heard that. And then the one that I heard by, I think it was Bhakti Siddhanta, he said, Krishna consciousness, simple for the simple at heart, but not for the simpletons.
Hmm.
And then he also said that the material world in Kali Yuga is like an outhouse. Do your business and get out. Don't loiter. Prabhupada would always say, people are just loitering in Kali Yuga. You know, they're just going from one form of sense gratification to another. Like, they never tire of the three modes of material nature. And then leaders are misleaders. And then I was just thinking, well, this came to mind. We have Trump steakhouses and Trump casinos. You know, how much more misleading can it be? You know, what to speak of all the other stuff that we hear? And then we had that BTG article called Who's Crazy? You know, they were saying the devotees are crazy. And then Prabhupada had them write an article in the BTG. I think it was like in 1974 or something. Who's Crazy? And then we can see that. We can find that article. I think it was written by Prabhupada. And then, like, education now is, you know, how to secure a job. It's not like, you know, understanding higher things in life, appreciating, you know, things, you know. I have a friend that he took liberal arts in college, and he was like saying, we're getting to be a smaller percentage of people going to school, you know, because they're all going for their jobs, you know, just to get a job and stuff like that. And I remember meeting this old lady, and she was saying, you know, the colleges today are like the high schools when we were in high school, you know, in the 30s and 40s. You know, the curriculum was very, you know, rigid, and, you know, it wasn't watered down, you know, like I've heard that in college they had one college had a course on Madonna. Because you could get credit for that, you know.
You get credit for that.
Prabhupada
historical personality.
Prabhupada used to say they're learning more and
the
more
material
about
girl.
They're learning more and more about less and less. So, you know, the Gita, you know, puts everything, you know, the earth, water, fire, you know, it puts everything concise to the point, not so much verbiage. But theirs is like endless dribble or babble. And, you know, it's just the situation as it is.
Mm.
But thank you for your little, you know, list of things. That was the 12th canto, chapter 2 and 3. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, actually, Prabhupada even goes further to say that there will be basically no vegetables, no food. The place will be like a desert. You know, there's droughts, and that no grains, no sugar, and people will basically, you know, starve, and they become cannibals. I heard Shankar Pandey, if you can correct me, if you know. Prabhupada said that people will have children, and then when after 9 months they will have, you know, like the Thanksgiving feast, you know, something like that. You know, they will eat the child, something like that. You say.
I've heard devotees say, Srila Prabhupada said that. But oh. I cannot directly verify it.
Okay.
But of course, Kali Yuga means everything will decrease. At one time, Srila Prabhupada had a room conversation with Allen Ginsberg. And Srila Prabhupada was pointing out the different anomalies of Kali Yuga, just saying how in this day and age, Manda Sumanda Matteo. Manda bhagya, hipadrutaha, that people become very lazy, misguided, cheated, illusion, etc., etc. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that the only solution by which the residents of Kali Yuga can become purified is to take up Krishna consciousness, particularly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So then at one point, Allen Ginsberg asked Srila Prabhupada questions pertaining to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada pointed out because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence in this world and his inaugurating the Sankirtan movement, that the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement will increase. And everything in Kali Yuga will gradually get better. In other words, Prabhupada's pointing out that the effects of the chanting of Hare Krishna will, to some extent, hold off the effects of Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada indicated, it would be like a golden period within Kali Yuga. And then gradually everything will decrease like anything. People will become animalistic. So then Allen Ginsberg asked, well, Srila Prabhupada, what will happen to all of your followers, the devotees? And Prabhupada said, they'll all be back home, back to Godhead.
Jai.
So as Kali Yuga increases, at one point it will be practically impossible to preach. And therefore Krishna in his form of Kalki, avatar, will come and he'll simply kill off all of the residents of Kali Yuga. And by killing them, that is his form of liberating them. Hmm. Because towards the end of Kali Yuga, the human beings will become so animalistic, so degraded, that there's no question of sadhana, no question of bhajan, no question of uttering the holy name. So Krishna as Kalki will come and he'll simply liberate them by killing them.
Hmm.
And that is also Krishna's business. Paritranaya sadhunam. Give protection to the sadhus. Vinashaya chaduskritam. And to kill or minimize demonic influence. But it's quite interesting that Prabhupada said, yes, all of the devotees will be back home, back to Godhead by the end of Kali Yuga.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam ki jai.